ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I can't tell you how many times I look back on lessons that I've been through, and in the midst of them, it was tough. But I look back and go, wow, Lord, I see now your hand and what you were doing, and it was perfect. I would have done it differently. I wouldn't have had the storm. But I needed that storm to grow. How important that is. I like that about our Lord. Now, what are the different storms we face in life? Well, the first one is storms of correction. And it's when we're not obeying the Lord, and he's trying to get us back on track. A good example of a storm of correction is seen in the life of Jonah. God told Jonah, go to Nineveh, right? You got to warn them that judgment is coming. And Jonah didn't like the Ninevites. He hated them. Why? Because they were so vicious, so nasty. He'd rather see God destroy them. But God said, I want you to warn them. And so we're told that Jonah went down to Joppa. He found a ship, went down into the ship. In the ship, Jonah went down to the lowest parts of the ship and laid down. Do you know what was going on in his life at this point when he was disobeying God? He was going down, 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 down. I find that interesting. And so he gets into a boat. He's going to sail far away in the opposite direction. And God is going to send a storm of correction for Jonah because he's running away from God. And as Jonah's in this storm or boat, the storm arises. And the crew are fearful. These are sailors. So it was a bad storm. And they decided to cast lots, find out if someone in the boat was causing this problem. The lot fell to Jonah. Jonah said, yeah, it's me. Throw me overboard. And just get rid of me. And they didn't want to at first, but they ended up throwing him overboard. And as soon as Jonah hit the water, the storm stopped. Calm seas. Here's Jonah. He's thinking, okay, I'm just going to die out here. And here comes this great fish that swallows Jonah, takes him down. And for 3 days, it took him 3 days before he prayed. And that's a hard heart, man. We all have them. But that was 3 days. I'm not praying. I don't want to go. And then he prayed. And the whale spit him up on the shore, and he ends up going to Nineveh. 40 days, you guys are going to die. Basically, that was his message. And the people turned to God. And Jonah's like, I knew it. I knew, God, you would forgive him. That's a hard heart still. God was trying to teach him lessons. That was a storm of correction. It brought Jonah to where he needed to be, and God spared the people of Nineveh. Again, because they repented. Psalm 119 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Yeah. God uses it to correct us, to get us back on track. Storms of correction. Then there's storms of perfection, where the Lord is working in our lives, making us more like him, causing us to depend on him. Let's face it, you're in a storm. You're going to look for help, and hopefully the Lord. I think these men here in John 6 were involved in a storm of perfection because they're doing what the Lord told them to do. You know, like James says in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Count it all joy when you fall into these trials, in these storms, because God is working in you. He's teaching you. He's building up your faith. And Jesus wasn't in the boat at this time. But remember our story from last week. What was in the boat with these men? There was something in the boat, 12 of these baskets of food, the leftovers from the healing, or I mean from the multiplying of the food. They had 12 baskets of leftovers, one for each disciple, in the boat with them. And not one of them thought, you know what, this is, we're not going anywhere, guys. We need to call on Jesus, man. We need to pray and seek him. Maybe he can calm the storm. They didn't do it. What was their answer? We're going to do this on our own. We've got these guys here. They're strong fishermen, some of them. We're going to row. And they went absolutely nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Their only hope was Jesus. And that's one of the lessons he's going to show them. Think about our own lives. A sickness, major health issue, job loss, home loss, family issues. We try to fix those problems, and you know, there's nothing wrong with trying to help out, but always seek direction from the Lord, because he's the one who holds our lives together. Our hope has got to be in him. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to handle this? I think it's important. For us, kind of like the men with the 12 baskets of food in the boat with them, we carry with us the greatest miracle ever, our salvation. We were dead spiritually speaking. God made us alive again. It's the greatest miracle. Just, we got to be remind ourselves, wow, God saved me. He can do anything. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So as you're going through those times, those difficult times, suffering, and it's not easy, notice God is working. There's something he's doing in your life. And again, I love that about our Lord. He doesn't give up on us. He's always with us working, strengthening our faith. And again, we may not like these storms, but storms of perfection help us to grow. There's also storms of direction, where the Lord is leading us to go somewhere, to do something. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, we see a good example of this. Now when they had come through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, we may not see this at a storm, but it is. Paul's desire was to bring the gospel message to people. And, you know, it seemed like everywhere he turned, the Holy Spirit was shutting the door. And so it was a storm for him. For Paul, he wanted the gospel message to go throughout the whole world. That was his heart's desire. And he tried to go, and the Holy Spirit shut him down. I don't know how the Holy Spirit, we're not told how the Holy Spirit prevented him from going, but all these areas, didn't the gospel message need to go? Yeah, but it wasn't God's timing. And that's something that's important. You know, like I've told you before, for me, the Lord called me to come to Wisconsin to be a pastor some 11 years before he actually brought me up here. It was God's timing, having to wait upon God. And I think that's important for us too. What does God want you to do? He may have put something upon your heart, but it's not the time yet. So you sit back and you wait for the Lord to show you when to move. You know, that's what the Lord was doing here. Paul wanted to go in one direction. The Lord said, no. Try somewhere else? No. Finally, the area of Macedonia, there was a woman named Lydia there. And he preached the gospel to her. She was from Thyatira, and she brought the gospel message back home. God needed to go, or Paul needed to go there, and God was directing him. You know, David Livingston wanted to go to China. You know what happened? God sent him to Africa. You know, sometimes we want to go somewhere, and God says, no, I want you to go here instead. William Carey wanted to go to Polynesia. God sent him to India. Adoniram Judson went to India, or wanted to go to India, but God guided him to Burma. And I like how God guides us along our path, just to the right place. we just need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is showing us. You know, God, or Jesus told these men, get into a boat, go to the other side. And they obeyed him. For Paul, God was shutting doors until here in Philippi, he meets Lydia. That's a God-ordained encounter. Do you realize you have God-ordained encounters all the time? We think it's luck, chance. No, it's God-ordained. Just seek God's direction, the storms of direction leading you to where you need to go. So the reason for storms, there's storms of correction, storms of perfection, and storms of direction. And for these men in the boat, the storm's upon them, and they're trying as hard as they can to get to land, but they're going nowhere. Why? Because they miss Jesus. They miss Jesus. Look at verse 19 here in John chapter 6. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, and okay, they're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. So this was a windstorm, guys. This wasn't a rainstorm. And with the temperatures, you know, Mount Hermon's up there, the cold temperatures coming down, hitting the warm temperatures, and coming down into this valley, into the Sea of Galilee, you can get some huge windstorms. That's what's going on here. And Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee, watching them. And you think, how? It was nighttime, because it was near Passover, and it was a full moon. And he could see them out there on the Sea of Galilee. Because it wasn't a rainstorm with clouds, it was a windstorm. And he begins to walk towards them, walking on water. This storm was overwhelming to the disciples, right? Waves are crashing. And what does Jesus do? He walks on the Sea of Galilee. It's not even a problem for him. Why don't we look to him? Where these storms are no problem. He can help us. Now, many times, Jesus is the last resort, right? We've tried everything. Okay, Lord, I need help now. Let's make him the first resort. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? Cry out to him. For these disciples, they're in the boat, and in Matthew, we're told that they were screaming when they saw Jesus come by. They thought it was a ghost. They didn't know what it was. Or here's these strong, big, you know, I think of Peter, the strong, big fisherman. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think he was pretty strong. And they're screaming because here's this guy walking on water. They don't even recognize it's Jesus. You know, Matthew says that when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Why did they respond that way? Because they weren't looking for Jesus. They weren't expecting him to come to their aid. Again, they had 12 baskets, miracle of this food, right in the boat with them. None of them thought, let's find Jesus, let's call out to him. And they didn't even expect him. And I love what Jesus says. What's wrong with you guys? No, he didn't say that. He said, be of good cheer. It is I, do not fear. Well, again, love, compassion, right? I mean, these guys, come on. What's wrong with them? They've been with Jesus for over 2 years now. And Jesus still has compassion on them. And it's interesting, and this is even more amazing to me. That phrase, it is I, in the Greek is ego, I me. Ego, I me. I am. Be of good cheer. I am. Do not be afraid. What is he saying? God's with you. You have no need to be afraid. I love that. The name of God should bring comfort to anyone's heart. It should dispel all fear that comes our way because God is with us. He never leaves us, like I said, or forsake us. And as followers of Jesus, we're going to sail our lives into the winds of this world, and the world is fighting hard against us. The world doesn't want us to progress any further. You know, years ago, the nurse for the school system came to the churches and asked for help because of all these girls becoming pregnant in the school system. They actually had to develop a class for pregnant teens to teach these kids in the school system, have a nursery for their children. That's how bad it was. So we said, yeah, And we invited speakers, a Christian man who his wife was pregnant and she needed a blood transfusion, her was losing blood, and the blood at that time was contaminated with AIDS. She developed AIDS, and the baby developed AIDS, and they died a short time later. And he was giving his testimony about sexual purity. And we were able to go to Lincoln High School, had the place filled with kids. And you know how teenagers are. They're always talking, and it was completely silent. They listened to every word. Do you know who was against us? The teachers. We do not want you telling that stuff here. What do you mean? You don't want us telling that the girls should and boys should be sexually pure? They shouldn't be having sexual relations? They didn't want that. That's what we were fighting against. Now, sadly, over time, that group became very ecumenical, and I dropped out because of that, and it fell apart. But we want to make an impact, and we're going to be fighting against these winds that are blowing against us. But God could see us through. He gave us time to make an impact on those kids. Let God direct you, no matter how fierce the storm is, because he'll see you through. Don't miss Jesus. And here's the greatest thing, the last point. Jesus gets us to our destination. I love that. Because you know me and my directional skills. You know, my poor GPS, the old one that said recalculating, I think she got tired of saying recalculating because she was saying it all the time. I always get lost. I don't know why. I just do. I'm not good with directions. I'll just say that. But I love about Jesus. He'll get us to the right place at the right time. Look at verse 21 here in John 6. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Wow. You know, that storm stopped, and now they're at their destination. Now, again, in the story in Matthew and I believe Mark, it talks about Peter walking on the water. Jesus says, commands him, and Peter gets out of the boat, the only one, is walking on water. It's a step of faith. You know, people make fun of Peter. Oh, he was sinking, you know, because he took his eyes off of Jesus. Well, yeah. But can you imagine? Okay, the waves are huge, right? The boat is going nowhere, and Peter is out there walking to Jesus. And I'm sure at one point he goes, what am I doing out here? Am I crazy? I'm getting smashed by waves. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus. He looks at the situation and begins to sink. And Jesus reaches out and lifts him up. That's our Lord. Even when we fail, lose some faith, he's right there to pick us up again. And God wants us to walk on water, to do the impossible, but it's only going to happen as we keep our eyes upon him. He does amazing things in our lives. And what I want to focus on here is what this verse says, that they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. As soon as he got in the boat, the wind stopped, and they're where they need to be. That's pretty cool. One writer said, from this detail given by John, it is inferred that the ship seemed to move automatically without sail or oar in obedience to his will, so that without effort of the disciples or crew, it quickly passed over the remaining distance, 2 miles or so, and came to shore. Again, Jesus gets us to the destination that he wants us to go. And sometimes the destination is home. And going home to be with Jesus is what we long for. But until that time, God wants to use us to bring the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to a lost and dying world. He wants us to grow and mature in him and to shine brightly for him. I like the fact that Matthew tells us, then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. It stretched their faith for Peter and the rest of the men in the boat. That storm helped them grow in the Lord. We look at it, they failed. They didn't fail. They got into the boat like they were supposed to. A storm came. Yeah, they tried to do it on their own, but then Jesus showed them that he's the one that can calm those storms and get us to the place we need to be. You see, they learned that lesson. we look at sometimes as a failure on their part. No, they didn't fail. They were learning, just as we do, as children of God. And I love that God says that they don't need to fear anymore. Wow. So what we've seen here is it wasn't time to make Jesus king, not yet. And yes, Jesus made them go into the boat, as he makes us go into the world and face these storms of life, storms of either correction or perfection, direction, but always guiding us and directing our lives for good. Those are the reasons for the storms. And may we not miss Jesus in all these storms. And I know I say that a lot, but maybe it's a reminder to me. Because sometimes these things hit you right in the face, and you're ready to fight back instead of drawing back and going, Lord, what do you want me to do here? How do you want me to handle this? Because I know what my flesh wants to do, but what do you want to do? And let him give us the victory through these storms. I'm not saying it's going to make it any easier, but learn the lesson as you're going through it and see what God is going to do. Because Jesus gets us to our destination, make no mistake about that. Years ago, we had another Christian musician here by the name of Peter Oliva, and he had an album called The Eye of the Storm. And this is how the lyrics went. We put out to sea, we sailed across the waters, stretching endlessly far from any borders, where I was free to chart my course, anywhere I cast my eye, face the storm's cold force. Oh, was I willing to die? Now in the waves I was tossed and tossed about. You know I nearly lost my grip. I prayed for solid ground and cursed this wretched ship till sunlight touched me warm. Now I think I understand. There is calm in the eye of the storm, and there is peace in the palm of his hand. There's no safe place you can turn to, anywhere a man has laid his head. Just look to the calm in the eye of the storm and rest in the palm of his hand. Bless the ships at sea that follow where they're led. Through much adversity, we set our sails straight ahead. And if I'm found tattered and torn with no sight of land, I'll just look to the calm of the storm and I'm going to rest in the palm of his hand. Oh, you want gold at the end of the rainbow? Such things are built on sinking sand. Just look to the calm in the eye of the storm and rest in the peace of his hand. We're going to face storms in our lives, guys. There is no doubt about it, and maybe some of you are going through them now. In the midst of those storms, in the eye of the storm, we can find peace and rest. In the eye of the storm is Jesus. In me, you will have peace. It's not always easy, and if it was, we wouldn't need the Lord. And I'm thankful that he makes himself known to me as I'm going through the storms of life. One writer said, are you going through the storms of life now? He sees. Believe that. Rest in it. Appropriate it. Rejoice that understanding help is on the way. Help was on the way for the disciples long before they saw it. And the same is true for you. Are you surrounded by darkness? Do you wonder if there's any way out? Keep expecting him to come because he often comes in the fourth watch when we're exhausted, our strength is gone, and we're about to give up. Be open to the hand of God in your life. Focus the gaze of faith upon him. That's what I want you to take away from this morning. Keep your eyes upon the Lord. The storms, the waves will crash and they'll be overwhelming. But look to the Prince of Peace. The one who can give us peace that surpasses all understanding, no matter what we're going through. And I love that about our Lord. I am always encouraged by him, by reading his word, and by brothers and sisters in the Lord who come alongside with a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word of correction to help as we go through these storms in life. Let's find that rest in Jesus, no matter what we're going through, guys. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Those are words I need to hear to keep my eyes upon you, that no matter what, that you will see us through these storms of life, no matter which ones we're going through, you will see us through. And ultimately, we'll be home with you. But until that time, use us, Lord. Help us to grow and mature, and help family, friends that are saved and unsaved see how we handle these storms, that they may be encouraged or drawn to you through them. We love you so much, and we thank you. And I pray for those that are struggling this morning, Lord, here, those on the internet, listening to on the radio. Lord, encourage them, comfort them, reveal yourself to them, that they may receive your peace. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.